bisschen bunte Weste.
No, no, he has to do it his way. Don't you fucking get fucking mitts off it.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, let me do something nice. Welcome to Bunta Vista. My name is Andrew. It's episode 399. Incredible. And I am a human penis. Uncircumcised. It's pretty easy to tell just by looking at me, you know. Sometimes a little self-conscious about how high up the shaft the pubes are growing. But no one's said anything yet. No one's complaining. It's fine. And hey, here with me are my two testicles. The left testicle, Tom, and the right testicle, Tammy. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Wow, I feel really seen right now.
I feel close to you.
It's weird how they all there's never any talk about how high the ivy grows on the abandoned house.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And then you look down one day and you're like, I remember in PE class, they told me that this would never happen.
Yep.
If I recall correctly.
And hey. Sometimes you can be having just a marvelous, what would you call it? Like a roustabout, Tom? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And eventually you'll find the length of a golden pothos type of pube right down your neck. And you'll think, how did that happen?
Now, just to pull back the curtain for a second.
Tom.
So I was trying to figure out before, and maybe you guys can help me with this. You know how like one testicle goes slightly lower than the other, and it's so they don't like bash into each other when you're walking around? Thank you, intelligent design, you know?
God was about to have Adam walking out the door with his shit clacking together like an executive desk toy, and then he was like, wait, 1 second.
Just pop back in here for 1 minute. 1 minute. I noticed you saying, ow, 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 as you were going out the door. Just pop back in.
Let me grab
here
this one,
sec.
Pull it down, grab the other one, push it up. Whoop.
I like to imagine that he pulled one down, the other one goes up at the same time.
I was hoping that it was a pulley system.
But if I were to, like, if I'm trying to describe you two as the testicles and one is tall and the other is shorter, which one do you think of that being in the testicle relationship, right? Because one's lower down, which might make it, like, kind of closer to the ground / shorter, but that also means it's, like,
it's
kind of longer.
Yeah, which
that's
is
kind
long,
of the tall one.
Long is the tall of the down, is what
I've
always
long
said.
So, is the tall of the down.
So,
yeah, I think the lower testy would be, I would be the lower one, and Demi would be closer up to the, well, the penis.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is.
Let's just go ahead and call it what it
let's
is.
Let's just go ahead. Let's cut the crap.
We're
okay?
Among friends here.
Oh, Tom and Demi, of course, are here. From BigSoftTitty.png, our beloved podcast of friends. Now, before we go any further into this episode, what if you guys plugged whatever you feel like plugging at the moment?
Oh my God, you're so smart. Yes, I'm in a podcast. You do it at the start so that they can't cut it out at the end.
That's right.
I am part of a podcast called Dragon Friends. It's a really, really funny season right now. Michael Hing is the fantasy president? The fuck?
Dungeon master. Games master.
He's dungeon master or game master?
Depends on the system, but in this case, DM. Yeah,
and it's really funny and it's fucking so stupid. And we do live shows. You just look it up. But that's what I wanted to plug because we want to get the audience bigger.
It's like a...
So fucking look.
Let's
it up.
Go ahead and get the quiet part as loud as possible.
And then can you edit in what I said before about pubes just
no.
right here? So
drop it in. Drop it in. Drop in the Chinese pube riff right here.
Yeah, Demi is doing a Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast, but it's actually good. And it's with a lot of people, including past guests of the podcast, Michael Hing and Alex Lee.
Yeah, and it's annoying to say, like, no, this one's actually good. Because I don't want to be mean to other Dungeons & Dragons podcasts, but, like,
but come on.
This one's actually good.
This one's good for real. This one's good for real.
You do this one and you like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check it out. And then once you've checked it out, go to a live show.
Yeah.
You just
absolutely.
You don't have time.
He just hand waved away his own stream.
No, I just don't want to plug anything.
Why not?
It's fucking, who cares?
You know? I
want the focus to be like, okay, stream over on twitch.tv/TomWalker. There's the podcast, of course, BigSoftTitty.png. And there's a most recent YouTube upload over on the YouTube is me and Brian Quimby of the Guys podcast. I had him on to watch some backyard wrestling. Man, do you ever watch some backyard pro wrestling, Andrew?
Not as much as you would think. It's kind of the opposite of pro, isn't it?
It's
pretty bush league. You said pro.
Well, I'm saying backyard
professional
pro wrestling
as the concept. Yeah.
As the genre of entertainment. Yeah. But it's definitely amateur professional wrestling. Enough that
doesn't make any fucking sense.
Take it up with the art form.
I won't. I'm going to take it up with you.
Take it up with the International Olympic Committee. You know?
All right.
Yeah.
Take it up with weird American colleges.
Dude, I found a bunch of really good, small backyard, what they call them, feds. I found one that was small enough that they didn't cut out a Spotify ad playing during someone's entrance music. It's so fucking funny.
That's so funny.
Oh, it's really good. They were doing a match on a foundation, on what's the name for it? Like the shit you put up outside a building so you can work on
scaffolding.
They were doing a match on scaffolding.
You're in Demi mode for a
second. but I didn't say what's the thing where you have when the mouth of the house has dentures?
What's sort of the tree's cousin that you can go up and do work on?
They were doing matches on scaffolding they'd laid out in the backyard, and they would run towards the metal pipes that surrounded the scaffolding and they'd pretend to bounce off it like they were ropes. But they would just run into a pipe and then stop really hard and then start running again.
You are stretching my incredulity, sir.
It's so good.
Also, people really get hurt coming off scaffolding all the time. They're generally trying not to come off scaffolding. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Tom, I just need to tell you that the way that you're, and I know that this isn't a visual podcast, but the way that you keep balling up our cat's hair and passing it between your two hands makes it seem like you're scheming something. So I think you need to put the hair down.
All right.
And I think you need to, no, not on the desk. Put it somewhere else. Put it,
throw it
away.
Then the other option is the floor.
Yeah,
I'd much rather have it on the desk than the floor.
No, but there's so much on the desk.
I think it makes you look like a giant Harlem Globetrotter.
Thank you.
It's like one of those little bubble toys that you have when you're a kid where you blow air up into the little water toy.
Oh, I know the ones, and they make them shaped like a Game Boy or something, not a Game Boy.
It's not a Game Boy. It's just got water and little balls in it, and I'm trying to get it in the 10-point.
You're trying to blow the little ring up to land on something?
Throw the little ring, Brent.
Ooh, I love those. Oh, things they sell at the grocery store.
That's right.
We talk about those sometimes in a psychically enraging segment called Grocerant Watch. It's time for Grocerant Watch. Might need a theme for this one day because I've been threatening to kill this man for 12 months now.
The Grocerant really gets you in a way that no other segment really does.
No, and I think the one that comes close is Trend Watch, because I do feel like Ben chooses those things. They all come from some sort of fucked up industry journal that's plugging just product. They're just new product is being released by brand. You know?
And they all
talk about it like it's a thing that matters and you should hear about. And something about that is putting a cheese grater to my brain, apparently.
Yeah, it's hearing something said as if it has import when everybody involved surely knows that none of this matters. Like, truly doing, the only writers whose jobs could be completely replaced with AI and no one would bat an eye. You know?
Yep. You could do it with, No, you're completely right. It's just you could just give a 14-year-old some keywords and say string these together and it would be the same thing.
Sometimes I'm like, it's amazing that they keep writing new press releases. At some point, you've just got to get the old template out and just slap it together.
Yeah.
You know?
This is so much of what I read in Cosmo because I find it so intriguing to read about women.
What are they up to?
To
where
understand
are they going?
The woman.
The one that they that was extremely Trump. Trying to understand the woman. I'm understanding them more and more. There was Cosmo article that I saw recently that was, I had an orgy at a sex castle. And I was like, I don't even, like, yeah, I know.
I wasn't asking.
First of all, I didn't ask. So, and like, yeah, I guess that like as soon as you said it, it's not clickbait because I'm like, well, I guess there's a sex castle.
Yeah.
And I literally didn't click it because I was like, okay, you did then. Whatever.
Just one more thing to be jealous of out there.
Yeah.
You've been to the sex castle. You've been to Disney World. Grocer Aunt Watch is where we check in on Stephen Johnson, who calls himself the Grocer Aunt Guru. Grocer Aunt, of course, being a portmanteau of grocery and restaurant for the restaurant that produces goods that can be sold at the grocery store. His latest piece is entitled, Wiener Schnitzel Accelerates Toward Growth with Full Flavor Fast Food and High Octane Partnerships. Wiener Schnitzel, America's iconic hot dog brand, is pushing. I'm already so mad. Wiener Schnitzel, America's iconic hot dog brand, is pushing the pedal to the metal, literally and figuratively, by aligning itself with high performance lifestyle brands and targeting a powerful consumer base, motorsport fans.
Wow.
We are targeting the NASCAR guy, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe Formula One. Maybe they're doing a plussed up version that all those Europeans can wrap their fucking cheese kisses around. All those fucking namby-pamby Europeans can nap, fucking chuck a croissant on this, huh?
Wrap your cheese kisser around this. I've seen some of those like British footy scran posts. Dude. You know,
there's
some bleak shit going on.
There's some bleak shit, but there is some shit that looks really insanely bleak that I'm like, I bet that fucking tastes amazing.
I don't know. I reckon there are ones that are like, you know how like dark matter will absorb light. I think there are some that are actually like sucking the taste out of your mouth. Like I've seen British ones that are like ooh, a toasted cheese roll, and someone's just got it open, and it's a pretty stale looking like grocery store hamburger bun kind of thing.
But don't you think that would be delightful?
There's nothing on either surface of the bread. Completely unbuttered, unseasoned, untoasted, totally raw dog, and then like a slice of completely intact, unmelted cheese.
Yeah. Mm.
And like there's so little going on there. There's just nothing going on. And someone has to pay £3.
What my point? Well, £3? £3 and 2p. What the fuck am I paying that for when you give me a piece of gouda, which it wasn't even was, by the way, and two slices of what? What the fuck?
Yeah, paying £4 and walking away with my 98p change.
God damn it. What the fuck am I going to do?
These coins just overflowing out my hands.
But so.
He gave it to me in all peas.
I was gonna say, don't you think that that's kind of like a beautiful torture that like you get something so bad that like, sorry to bring him up again, but Pinhead is saying like, oh, we have so little taste to show you, and being oh my god, that's so crazy. I didn't know I could taste this little.
Did you know that there is exists a sensation beyond umami, the indescribable flavor? There is an absence of savory.
Yeah, it's called odaddy.
Oh.
Yeah, I knew you'd hate that, but I thought Andrew might like it.
You played us off against each other very well.
In 2025, the chain has reignited its brand relevance and accelerated customer engagement through dynamic partnerships with Joe Gibbs Racing Motocross, Toyota Racing, Four Wheel Parts, and Smittybilt. These collaborations connect Wiener Schnitzel directly to adrenaline-charged consumers who live fast and eat fast, making it the go-to destination for full-flavor fast food.
It's a great way to find yourself a customer base of the shortest-lived motherfuckers in America by appealing to people who are huge fans of driving dangerously and eating hot dogs.
Yeah. Adrenaline-charged consumers who drive fast and die fast.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, drive fast and eat fast. Eating fast will make you live fast in a lot of ways. Like if you live in America,
yeah,
it will make your life really, really fast.
Yeah, it'll and wrap it up nice and quick.
It will. I've seen it happen. It's a choking hazard also. Yeah.
CEO J.R. Galati, a millennial entrepreneur and son of Wiener Schnitzel founder John Galati.
Telling me millennials can make it happen too? Wow, millennial, but we're just kids.
Millennial Wiener Schnitzel entrepreneurs?
Literally, it feels like 2020 was yesterday.
It do.
Mm. It feel that way.
Oh, he's a Wienerpreneur? And he knows how to tap into emerging consumer cohorts. Quote.
Quote.
Over 68% of motocross fans eat fast food more than 3 times a week. That's exactly our demo. Fast-paced, high energy, flavor forward. It's a no-brainer to align with a lifestyle that reflects our brand. End quote, said Galati.
This sucks, man. I hate this fucking guy.
That sucks so badly.
I would hate to be targeted by a brand on the basis of like eating fast food more times per week than the average person.
Yeah. Mm.
I wouldn't like them to think of me that way, you know?
Have you ever looked up I remember once looking up what Google thought of me. This is like, you can see that you can see their profile of you. Built?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was roughly 45 years old and interested in model ships, which was off by 10 years, but also I was like, I can see how you would get that impression.
Okay. I don't know how you do that, and I'm really quite frightened.
I think your profile is going to be a fucking nightmare, but it's also going to be so completely accurate.
Well, it will be accurate, but it'll also be like, it'll have nightmare like veins running through it. Oh no.
With more than 330 locations across 10 states and a bold eye on expansion, Wiener Schnitzel is building momentum where speed, flavor, and cultural energy converge.
Shut.
Speed, flavor, and cultural energy are converging. I'm not sure that that means anything in English.
No, I would love to, can you guys think of, all right, let's have a little bit of mind melding here. What brand or product do you think does combine
speed, flavor.
Flavor and cultural energy.
The most I can think of is like Monster Energy drink.
Yes, because it has the speed, which is like ADHD people love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It has a flavor.
It's a stimulant because it makes you literally go fast.
And it has a cultural impact.
Yeah, which is like it's Monster. It's the drink of the extreme, if I may say.
Yeah.
J.R. Galati understands a core challenge facing legacy QSR brands.
Quick service restaurants.
Fucking all over it. Over the past decade... Sorry, that's keeping pace with evolving consumer habits. Over the past decade, millennials and Gen Z have increasingly gravitated toward convenience stores and grocerant-style options for ready-number-two-eat and heat-n-eat meals. According to the NPD Group, convenience stores now account for nearly 14% of all millennial food and beverage stops.
Oh,
I don't like that.
Oh, that feels kind of evil and bad. That feels like, not cool.
I eat 10% of my meals every week at the cinema. You know, that's how that feels to me.
There is okay, two things to say about that. Mm-hmm. One is that I get
Demi is about to show a level of herself that is only known to a select few people. Demi,
it's a good thing no one listens to this show. Go.
Yeah, you go right ahead.
I get so many Slurpees a week that the guy at the local 7-Eleven has given me the welcome back smirk.
Oh, I think they don't mind. You know, the guy was talking to me the other day about, hey, these things don't cost us nothing. Because I inadvertently said, because like I take the kids by the 7-Eleven every now and then after school and get them a Slurpee, you know, and they go, thank you ever so much, Father. They're very polite. They're very grateful. And also because you get like two big sized Slurpees and it's like $3 for them.
Will this
you know?
Keep the shadows away, Father?
And in this world of cost of living pressures, it's not often that you go and get two of anything and it's $3. So it just like slid out of my mouth like an absolute fucking moron. Hey, these things are cheap. And the guy was like, no, you're paying so much money for them. He's like, you're getting a like a squirt of sugar and color. And then the rest of it's like frozen water, dipshit.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot. He said,
but you do, they feel expensive because you have a machine maintaining them all day.
There's a machine, yeah. Sometimes and somebody gets in there and rummages around, which I like to see the guts of the Slurpee machine.
It's weird, like the Slurpee machine near us changes flavors pretty frequently. And
they keep
so
them moving.
I know what my...
The Slurpee flavors, I'm just saying, they keep the rotations going. They're all over it.
I think you guys, I don't think she was ready for someone to talk as familiarly as she does about Slurpee. I think I'm feeling the dread of realizing that I'm where I thought I was exposing a shapeshifter to an ally. In fact, I'm in a room
just
with two shapeshifters.
Suddenly realized you're on the outside.
Yeah. The blood sample has started to boil and I'm like... And then I look over and the other one that I left near a candle is also boiling.
My head is sliding off of my torso on the floor and running towards you and saying, Slurpee!
My chest cavity is opening up while I say, yeah. It's surprisingly not even that much of a guilty treat because half of them are sugar-free all the time, you know?
I brought home my Slurpee cup from America that is gigantic, which was from the promotion that was Oreo and Coke Zero. I can't remember whether and I didn't really care, but it has two
Zero.
Has
little, how about
Zero,
that?
Zero, that's right. I just fill it up. And it's not even from Australia and it's not a cup that they ever had. So I could just go in there and like fill up any cup. And every time I go there and try and get my $1 refill of this gigantic Slurpee cup, I have to say it's a Slurpee refill. And they're like, oh. And then put it in. I could just be having this for free. I could just go in there and steal it.
It sounds like you could go in and fill up a boot with with Slurpee and then go and stand near the counter and the guy would look at you and go, well, we don't sell boots full of Slurpee, so she must have bought that from home.
I did. And I do fill up a boot full of Slurpee. Do you know that my middle school nickname was Boot?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was because one day I came to school so tired that I was in one sneaker and one boot. And people started calling me Boot.
Oh, no. She doesn't know what her shoes are.
She doesn't. Tom, you seem like really like pissed off and out of your depth.
No, I don't think I do. And I think also if, you know, we just proceeded without saying anything, I could have gotten away with it. But the things flashing through my mind just then were like, Ben, when you're listening to this, just know I needed you, man. Just in the edit, you know, we could have at least had even numbers.
You know that Ben would have been saying, I would have simply got a beer. You know,
just having Ben say, oh yes, wait, how many Slurpees are you getting, Demi? And just gently ask the question.
And look,
it doesn't matter.
It's not a crime. You know?
And I always get the sugar-free Slurpee.
That's actually a health food, Tom.
Yeah.
It's just ice. It's practically just ice.
I'm actually looking way more hydrated since I've started getting constant Slurpees.
You are glowing.
Yeah. Thank you.
So 14% of all millennial food and beverage stops. That is a jump up from 7.7% in 2006.
That's got to be a bad thing. That's so, yeah, really...
Is that a good sign?
What the fuck?
That's a sign that the economy's going right, right?
Yeah, yeah. That, like, it's like when people, you know, sort of criticize young people for buying shit off Temu or whatever, and it's like, it's probably not actually good if most of your meals come from 7-Eleven, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not for the best. Fast casual visits have climbed, but still trail behind, reflecting price sensitivity and demand for variety. Well, they keep that slurpy rotation going, and I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Innovative new flavors all the time, you know? Yet Galati sees opportunity, not competition. Quote, consumers don't want to cook. They want flavorful, familiar food with flexible options. And that's what we do best.
And they want to get so big that they can look like an orb. They will get so big.
It's hard not to hear these guys. Like, that just sounds like the speech of a demon.
It really fucking does.
You don't want to cook.
You don't want food from your family's kitchen.
You want things that taste familiar, don't you?
It sounds like Wishmaster. It sounds like, hello, Eric.
Yeah.
Dude.
And of course, these are the things they're talking about that are a substitute for cooking. From chili cheese dogs to all the way to pastrami dogs.
Dude.
Yummy.
And tasty freeze desserts. Now, just to stop for a moment, play a little game. I would like you guys to try and guess how many instances of the letter E appear in the name tasty freeze.
Tasty
it's
freeze.
It's a hyphenated, okay. It's a hyphenated double-barreled brand. Tasty freeze.
Five.
Yeah, okay. I've got... One, two, three, four. I think I'm also sitting at five.
Okay, where are you putting your E's?
Tasty has two.
Uh-huh.
And then freeze has two and then one.
Okay. Yep.
I agree.
That's where you'd both be wrong. Tasty freeze has four E's.
What?
That's taste E with two E's. Freeze with two E's. And they cut off the E at the end.
What the fuck?
Oh, I'm furious.
Tasty frizz. Frizz.
Tasty phrase.
Frizz.
Oh.
Tasty frizz. Huh?
I just lost the spelling bee. My parents are furious looking at me.
You're a fucking mind master. You knew what the fuck you were trying to get us to do, you pig. What the
That's
because
as soon as I saw it, I was like, it's wrong. Wrong
it's
number.
It's not good. It's
you
bad.
You put too many into one and not enough in the other. It's fucked
up. That's stupid.
Maybe they thought they were balancing it out. Yeah,
Andrew, I'm just here on the Wiener Schnitzel website.
Wiener Schnitzel. Yeah.
Wiener Schnitzel website. Did you know that its tagline is the world's most wanted wiener? I'm also looking at an article from April 15th, 2022. Did some bunny say free? Wiener Schnitzel celebrates Easter with egg sighting online offer.
You can't.
I'm going to go ahead and send an image to you on Discord. That's the image that accompanies this article.
I want to point a gun at one of these. Oh.
So that's that is six items that look to be Easter eggs laid out in
an egg carton.
Yeah. Festooned with seasonal decorations, like as if an Easter egg was painted.
But with ketchup and mustard.
Yes.
They're corn dogs.
Is an order of six mini corn dogs.
They're like little chode dogs.
They're
little chode dogs, but something about that gives it like a really off-putting quality. Corn dogs, they're not like cracking the top 10 for best looking foods as it is.
No. Tom had his first corn dog recently. We went to the Easter show in Sydney. And I was always a big fan of the Dagwood dog, which doesn't
Dagwooded.
Taste
yep.
good or look good or yep. is
it's not
good.
Not made out of anything good.
No, it doesn't made out of nothing.
But they fry it up real nice.
They do. And sometimes not even that nice.
What did you think, Tom? How was your experience?
They certainly submit it to a process. It sucked, man. I hated it so much because the important difference. Look, I had a Korean corn dog. That was okay.
Okay.
That was nice enough. I could see where that was coming from.
Wait, did you say Korean or creamed corn?
Korean.
Okay.
The country of origin, not the addition of cream.
A Kareem.
You could put creamed corn in the batter, and I think that would be good.
That's true.
I think that would be good. But they're not trying to make it good.
No, this was then the Dagwood dog, separate
from
that.
The Korean one's got like the little sort of like cubes of potato and stuff in the batter, right? Is that what I'm thinking of?
It was like the Korean corn dog was like a delicate, elegant.
You keep saying it like it's basketball.
It was a delicate and elegant, like small
Kareem Abdul corn dog.
Korean Abdul.
And the Dagwood dog.
Hard switch.
And the Dagwood dog, you see, is an Australian iteration of that, which is just a humongous Frankfurter sausage.
Yeah.
I don't even want to call it a hot dog. To me,
no,
it's not
hot dog. Even a hot dog. It is a sausage.
The Frankfurter is its own horrible item. Boiled and then fried and then literally dipped completely up to the hilt in tomato sauce.
Yeah.
And that was so unpleasant.
Well, that's not fair. It's dipped to the 2/3 mark because then when they turn it upwise, it's going to drip down.
It's horrible.
And they figure that out. So you do it 2/3, then the sauce drips down.
It's horrid.
Yeah.
I hated it. It's fucking terrible.
I ate way more of it than you did. But the Dagwood dog is, it was a tradition for me because I used to go to the Royal Adelaide show.
Yes.
And Tom said that he'd never had a Dagwood dog.
I don't respect the traditions of your people. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
From chili cheese dogs to pastrami dogs and tasty freeze desserts, Wiener Schnitzel offers craveable comfort food. And with strategic messaging and touch points, it's recapturing attention across generations.
This guy's the devil. I'm sorry.
I want you to die, sir. And I don't think that
Keep in mind that this article is written by the grocerant guru, okay?
Yeah.
The following paragraph begins, Food Service Solutions, registered trademark, grocerant guru, registered trademark, says it best. Quote, customer relevance today is about contemporary touch points, convenience, and differentiated flavor profiles. Wiener Schnitzel's platform checks all the boxes. Unique QSR menu, high-octane partnerships, and momentum in motion. End quote. You wrote the article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
did it.
You wrote the article, and then you said, this guy says it best, and quoted yourself.
Chad said it best, says Chad. What is the grocerant guru's business model? Is he a consultant? Is that the aim here where he's kind of like reporting on other businesses' success and interviewing them, but then being like, and I thought that would be good? Or is he like involved in this in any way? What's his business model?
Now, according to his LinkedIn profile, because I'm looking at a picture of this cunt right now. Have you guys looked at a picture of
Tom, bring him up.
Fucking Jamie me.
Go ahead, Jamie.
How insanely bad is the experience of signing into any service now?
It's so brutal. Do you want to do this on Google? I can't remember.
Let me just pop some stuff open for you.
The photo just loaded.
This man looks like he has interacted with fast food. Stephen Johnson is a food industry thought leader working at the intersection of competitive intelligence and successful business development. At that intersection, you find the leading grocerant consultancy, Food Service Solutions, based in Tacoma, Washington, with grocerant guru Stephen Johnson. Specializing in the grocerant niche filled with ready-to-eat and fresh-prepared food served in both traditional and non-traditional avenues of distribution. So, yeah, I guess he's like a consultant, advisor on like branding and
he took his headshot
trends.
On a foot. Like, it's it's really bad.
It's not a low pixel. No.
What do you mean it's not a low? It's the lowest.
Yeah,
it's actually terrible.
It's 304 by 422 in the ways I can find
it's
it.
It's really
I think
bad.
That might also.
I'm not saying that he's ugly, which I could if I wanted to, but I'm not. But like, he just has like, you know, it's a bad photo. Jealous of his tooth gap. I want one of those. I want to stick a straw in there.
Hey, hey, Tom, can you read for me? I'm just going to send you the headline of the most recent article on the Grocerant Guru's blog, or one of his blogs here. Just read this out for me.
Sure thing. Oh, my God.
Can you just read that out loud?
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay. Is Publix B losing its mojo?
It's a great question, Grocerant Guru.
It's a really good question.
Oft I've wondered this. I've got his blogspot, which is grocerants.blogspot.com, pulled up.
He's got so many websites, dude.
Dude, each of them worse than the last. Oh, I found a new slogan. Grocerant Guru and Grocerant Guru, advisor to the food service, all one word, and hospitality industry. If it is ready to eat or heat and eat, it's Grocerant.
Fucking hell.
It's really good.
It just feels like inventing new ways to just kind of put us at arm's length from the concept of food.
Yes.
You know?
Is Publix be losing its mojo, though?
Is Publix be losing its mojo?
It may well be in danger of losing its precious mojo.
No other QSR is as well positioned to leverage the mix and match meal component bundling trend. From combo upgrades to limited time flavor mashups and take home value packs, Wiener Schnitzel is uniquely equipped to bridge the growing gap between convenience store appeal and traditional fast food expectations.
Andrew?
Yeah.
I must insist we do something else.
Do you feel the cheese grater on your brain, Tom?
Yeah. No, it's. It's so good. Like, I really love press release talk.
I need my item bundling and I need my component upgrades. I just can't. I need to hear more about them.
Okay. Like, fair enough. I'm sorry. Demi requests we stay.
Yeah.
But it is like.
We're at the end. We're at the last couple of paragraphs. We're like easily a quarter of the way through. We're almost through the first eighth of this article.
Don't worry, we're almost onto tome two.
Yes. The food value proposition for younger consumers today is clear. Balance, bold flavor, comfort, and price. Today's guests want something that feels indulgent without requiring a culinary degree to enjoy.
People like...
You know how you need a culinary degree to enjoy food that isn't a piece of shit?
That's so funny to bring like an anti-intellectual flavor, if you pardon, but like to bring anti-intellectualism to food, where it's like, you know how those highfalutin chefs are saying the vegetable this and root potato that?
You know those cosmopolitan university professors and their sit-down meals?
Yeah.
Looking down their noses at you?
God damn it. That is so cool and stupid.
In short, at the end of this fucking article,
in short is such a slap in the face. Short,
that at the end of fucking Crime and Punishment.
Yeah,
I skipped a couple of paragraphs, Demi. Wiener Schnitzel is proving that full flavor fast food, that's capital F's on all of those.
Uh-huh.
Full flavor fast food isn't just about speed. It's about relevance, differentiation, and reinvigoration.
No.
And as the Grocerant niche continues to blur the lines between convenience and QSR, Wiener Schnitzel has the tools, team, and taste to lead the pack. I will find you, Grocerant.
Die now.
In conclusion, flavor continues to triumph over blandness when it comes to hot dog industry.
Edible foodstuffs continue to be sold.
Yes.
If there is a flavor to be had, the human tongue will take it. Okay, shut up.
Please stop.
I'm looking at someone who's clearly trying to be a Grocerant Guru competitor on YouTube.
Oh,
and
no.
they upload things under the Lempit Report.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He is trying to be him.
And he is the supermarket guru. Oh.
That's too broad. That's too broad. You need a proper niche, like Grosserant.
Mm.
He's got a... Wow, look at his different haircuts. They're terrible, yeah. All of them.
He's got so many looks.
Mm.
Is he haircuts maxing?
He's really darting between looks, man, if you check him out. Phil Limpet, the supermarket guru to the Grosserant gurus. Dark id, a super ego comes.
Phil Limpet.
Yep.
I feel like he could...
Now, for anyone who wants to look this up, that's L-E-M-P-E-R-T. Oh, yeah.
I really like seeing...
He's got a bunch of looks there. He's got the goatee. He's got the just the moustache. He's got... Oh, a little stripy shirt. I like that.
Oh.
What a man.
I just loaded up one of his videos because it was the Hamburglar is back at McDonald's, and I was expecting it to have the tone of a crisis report.
Like threatening synth undertone.
Mm.
Is Publix be losing its mojo? That's one way to write a headline. Mm-hmm. Other ways to write a headline are listed in the following segment, Headline News. You know the deal, folks. This is the one where we look at headlines. We don't say where they're from or give you any context about the rest of the story or what happened after that. And it's considered a personal affront to everybody on the show and the audience to look it up. So don't.
Yep.
Up first, helicopter to spray, quote, thick brown liquid, end quote, over central Pennsylvania communities.
I'd do that.
Hey, leave the helicopter at home, champ. I got a wife you can take out on a ride.
Hey, why don't you put a bee in my hair so it spins around and then I'll go over there and spray my liquid.
Yeah. Demi will do it on a schedule too. Mm-hmm. Don't need refueling like that pesky helicopter of yours. Just go ahead, throw three Slurpees in her.
You're going to be asking me to stop it.
Yeah.
Slurpee's so much cheaper than helicopter fuel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Almost definitely. A special day with insects with renowned expert Kevin Wiener.
Yeah, Kevin Wiener put the bee in my hair so I can go and shit all over Pennsylvania.
Now that's nice. I like when a headline is just, event happened.
Something.
None concerned.
Happening.
Yeah.
Video captures drunk punter calling food critic disgusting piglet during 20 plate breakfast review. Squonk brings musical spectacle to Jasper Chalk Walk.
Squonk?
Squonk
does?
Squonk's
Squonk
in
does
town?
It? Is Squonk coming?
Did you hear the
Squonk's
news?
Here.
Are you on the pre-sale for Squonk?
Cheese it. Squonk's at the Chalk Walk. That's the sentence you hear right after realizing you calibrated your time machine wrong.
Squonks at the Midtown Dilly Dally.
Oh, no.
What?
No, this is a world much like my own, but
Squonk!
Different in so many ways.
That's Squonk with an O, just to be clear.
I was thinking it was. Were you?
Yeah.
Can I inquire as to Q or K?
S-Q-U-O-N-K. Squonk.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was imagining.
God fucking damn it.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's a beautiful word.
Dutch goose.
Squonk.
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 All the Dutch poets writing about the geese is out here are squonking.
The geese.
The day is so beautiful. All the other Dutch people reading it.
Radiated tortoise lays eggs at Fort Wayne Zoo.
I know. Stop telling me about it.
Is that an irradiated tortoise?
No, did radiated.
Okay. All right. All right.
Is that good?
I guess it's... Like,
probably.
I don't know. Like, radiate... What? Radiated,
it's good to radiate
like radiation,
warmth, right?
But, like, radiation, you get, like, another ear and, like, you fall off.
That's how you get a gamera.
Yeah, it would be irradiated, though, if it was a gamma situation, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's like that whole thing about, like, inflammable and stuff.
Turns out if you're saying it, it probably means it can be set on fire.
Oh.
Looking up radiated here in the dictionary, says denoting energy emitted in the form of rays or waves.
Mm. Okay, so not like radiation.
Then. I think it's just a turtle. If electric heaters are left too close to furniture, the radiated heat can start a fire. Or the radiated tortoise, if you will. What's the tortoise radiating?
It's a tortoise, so the tortoise is radiate, like it's just a hot turtle?
Wait a minute.
For a type of tortoise?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I think Tom's got it.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, boy. We look really silly.
We look stupid.
But also, I think we kind of broke the rules and we kind of investigated part of the headline.
We didn't break the rules. You broke the rules and then Tom pulled out an extra long nose hair out of his nose.
Again, we're not on video.
So nobody knows.
Yeah. As far as everybody else knows, you're lying, you fucking...
So glad that you pulled it out because I've been noticing it for like the past week and a half.
The perfect crime.
Oh, that sucks to know.
I've been looking up. I've been cleaving onto your own breast and looking at that. And you pulled another one out. Yeah.
Fuck me.
Oh, you're going to have to start putting the clipper attachment up there, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I don't like that when I've done that shit. Because for anybody who's never stuck one of these things up their nose before, there's a little attachment that'll come with your beard clippers or your clippers for your arsehole or your balls, whatever you like to put them on. There's no rules in the book. They don't say. It doesn't come with the manual. It doesn't say it cannot be used to clip
arsehole
hairs. Please
don't put this in your bum.
Manscaped attempted to make their fortune on imposing a rule.
Yeah, yeah. These ones are actually for it.
Yeah.
Ew, you're using that on your nuts as well? Yeah, I wash it. Oh, yuck.
Yuck.
You need to spend like $80 right now.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't been using the pube clippers. It's going to break your clippers.
It is going to break
They're not made for that.
Yeah.
They're made for it.
You've been trimming pubes with this, mate? Yeah, no, I can see that. Yeah, just all through here.
Warranty's invalid, sorry. Yeah. Nothing we could
That's
do for you.
That's a face razor, mate. We're not a disgusting pervert store. You wouldn't come back to the Apple store and say, oh, no, my laptop's all fucked, isn't it? And then they open it up, they can tell you've been rubbing it on your pubes.
Yep.
Yeah, you've been rubbing it on your pubes. You've been sticking it up your nose.
Yep.
Can't be doing water sports with your MacBook Pro.
What is it like to put the nose
trigger So it comes with this attachment that has like a little sort of tube. And inside the tube, there's sort of a shaped rim around the edge of it. Inside the tube is a ball, and the ball has like little razor blades sticking off it, right?
I don't like it.
Like something that Pinhead would hold out to you and say, put this in your urethra.
We're doing urethra stuff today.
So Hellraiser hands you the thing to put up your pisser, you know. And like, if you've ever taken the top off a set of clippers where you put the attachment on, you'll see that the way it works is there's like a little sort of metal ball that spins around and moves like the clippers back and forth in the thing. And so what this does is the thing sits on top and the little metal clip goes and bangs the ball up to the end of this tube, but just far enough for the razors to spin around at the top. And you jam this thing up your nose and the hairs that go into it get chopped off by the little razor ball bouncing around inside it. And look, number one, that's unsettling.
Yeah.
I don't need all that going on in there near my membranes, you know? And number two, I also don't like the sensation after having used this method to trim like nose hairs, there's then all these like kind of sharply cut off hairs inside your nose.
Right.
They're poking you on the inside of your nose. Any problems for me?
No. What if you have are the holes big enough that a pimple can get through? Because I would think that like holes that will allow...
Holes?
Isn't there holes?
You mean the hole on the end of the attachment that you're putting up your nose?
The scringers, this one, that goes up into the... Tom,
hole? It's way bigger than you're imagining in that case.
It's like if that's the... Make a nose hole.
Oh, right.
Like, if this is the thing that's going in, is there holes in this bit? Is no, here?
It's one hole on the end of a tube that you put
what?
Up.
What?
Yep.
That seems crazy.
It does.
I thought it was
and
a thing that you
sharp
put in.
Razors in there.
That's fucking weird.
I don't like that at all.
No, that's crazy. So what, do you have to like vacuum the side of your nostrils to get the shit out?
Oh, I'm not doing anything in there. I don't have crazy nose hairs. Just
I'm
personal.
Not saying that you are.
I don't really have a lot of problems that need sorting out.
Yeah, you know? I'm just going to keep like tugging them out of my head whenever I notice them.
Yeah, just every now and then you just grab it.
Yeah.
My dad used to get me to rip his white eyebrow hairs out.
Nice.
Just with my fingers, because he would like see one in the mirror and be like, listen, I'm not going to go and buy a pair of tweezers. Can you just rip this out?
Just go for it.
And I just saw Tom rip another hair out
I
of
did.
His nose.
Now it's in my head. We gotta wrap this up so I can really lock myself in a room and go to town.
Squonk.
Squonk.
How about this headline? Philly's best named preferred Philly steak of MLB's Philadelphia Phillies.
I don't even
can
know.
Can you try that again?
Like, I just don't know.
Philly's best named preferred Philly steak of MLB's Philadelphia Phillies.
We got to stop cities being so in love with themselves.
We'll stop every city thinking they can have a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I live in a city where we don't have a thing and it's fine.
There's no Canberra sandwich.
No, we're all just living here and it's
there
fine.
There is a bunch of Adelaide shit. And I think that's because there's nothing to do in Adelaide.
The Adelaide shit is like stuff where it's like, oh boy, you guys got left to your own devices for a while, and now
Think being marooned makes you start coming up with stuff, and then like everybody there goes, yep, I guess that must just be how it's done.
But then also, like, Adelaide is so much worse than Tasmania, which should be more marooned than Adelaide. Like Adelaide has the AB, Adelaide has the pie floater, Adelaide has the frog cake.
What's the AB?
The AB is short for abortion, which is a chip dish that is also known as the halal snack pack, but it was started in Adelaide.
Was it?
Yeah. I believe that some people say that
in Adelaide.
Some people do say that it's short for afterbirth, because that's what it resembles.
Yeah, but both are they came up with both of those names at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I fucking love a halal snack pack.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
shaved
that.
Shaved meat on top of chips, doused with sauces.
Any sauce you fucking want.
If we're talking about like, you know, where it can be really good, where fast food can be magic, you know? Yeah. Oh, you got cultures colliding. You've got flavors smashing in your face. Ideally, you've got several kinds of animal and some crisply fried potato. Man, according to Wikipedia, some Australian restaurant menus refer to the dish as a snack pack, snack box, or mixed plate. The name of the dish was voted by readers of the Macquarie Dictionary as the People's Choice Word of the Year for 2016. That's how much we've got going on over here, folks. In Western Australia, the dish is often called a meat box.
Yep.
And in Adelaide, it is known as an AB.
Yep.
They do not go on to explain what that means.
It's just an AB. It's an abortion or an afterbirth.
The dish also exists in New Zealand, where it is known as meat on chips.
They've got...
It's very
They do have it figured out.
Oh, what do you call this? Well, this may surprise you.
Well then, we've got your number.
Yeah, we basically call this the slut's meaty piss.
Oh. As soon as all the Australians leave, they start getting nasty again.
Yeah.
Hey, we don't have to put it on for them anymore.
Oh. Halifax business hunts mystery man with, quote, great story to give him delicious surprise.
Oh my God, what do we think it is?
I think maybe Anton Chigurh has dipped his bolt gun in like sweet and sour sauce.
Yes!
Let me just test if you like this flavor by pressing it to your forehead.
That's what you think, Anton Chigurh.
My name's Anton Chigurh. I love being a guy.
No accent to be seen.
I'm the coin guy.
Yeah, you're the coin guy.
I'm the coin guy.
I'm the coin guy.
What's so they want to give a man with a story a delicious surprise. What's the crime in that?
Yep.
Nothing.
I think it depends how you give it to them, you know, and what's delicious about it. Bit of a we have such sights to show you kind of threat, you know? And I don't like to be hunted. I don't mind somebody looking for me.
Every day I'm hunted in my home, not by Tom, but by our enormous cat. And he does it very politely. But even just being hunted really fucking pisses me off.
You're aware of it.
I'm looking at him and saying, this is my house. What are you doing?
You moved in here.
I drove a car. We already to lived get here. You. I was here first. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to. And also, he can't hide for shit. He's doing this.
He's so fluffy, though. Like, what? You know how cats' whiskers are sort of there to help them detect like the space that their body can go through. But like Norm's sort of hair mass, is a lot bigger than I imagine his whiskers are.
Yes.
So maybe from his perspective, he's like, here I am, solid snaking behind this pillar.
Little.
And he doesn't know that there's all this going on. And it's it's very visible. It's very high contrast.
Yeah.
It's really popping.
He's not concealed in any way.
And his tail is the fucking Loch Ness Monster. It's always up and it's always there. Is he in here?
I don't think so.
Am I being hunted right now?
I don't want to be hunted again.
A robot with a Northern Irish Dalek voice is shouting threats at walkers at a beauty spot.
Well, the now
Dalek.
I guess I'll avoid that place.
Hold on.
A robot with a Northern Irish Dalek voice.
Northern Irish, is that the really gentle sing-songy one or is that the other one?
I don't know.
They don't like when you try and remember which one of them is which. That's all I remember.
Oh, I better be exterminating, you know. That's, I don't know.
Come on then. Come over, get exterminated.
All right, come get exterminated.
Get you over here, get you exterminated.
You're going to stay out there and get a chill or are you going to come and get exterminated? Come on now.
Come on down to the beauty spot if you think you're hard enough, big man. I'm a robot.
All right.
I'm a Robert.
Come back here.
I like that they don't specify that it's like a Dalek.
Mm.
It's a robot with a Northern Irish Dalek voice. So it could look entirely different to a Dalek.
It's C-3PO. Oh, I'm a golden gay man. I don't know. I don't know what to do about my short friend. He's whistling at me. He's always whistling. I don't know what to do.
He would be R2-D2 would be a wonderful carefree little cockney character, wouldn't he?
He would.
And then he doffs his cap.
Yeah, if they put one of those chimney sweep caps on him.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Like a neckerchief that goes all the way around R2.
Yes!
The little, like, his chest opens up and a little, like, hand comes out and it's just flipping a coin.
Oh. And he's got dusty streaks on him like he's been down the mines.
Yeah.
Oh, or sweeping a chimney. I feel he could sweep a chimney. He'd have the right attachment.
He could have a chimney sweeping arm type of thing that would spin.
Yeah.
I think it would just unfold. They started getting more and more bullshit with the little arms on the droids throughout those movies, I believe. They'd just go, oh, dildo, got it. Comes out. How long does it need to be? Oh, I need more fingers, like in that one scene. I just watched the sequel trilogy again recently.
And also a movie where a woman made love to a dildo, it seems.
I was just thinking, what if Cockney R2-D2 was like, oi, C-3PO.
But he does speak English too.
That would be so funny if the reveal of like episode 9 was that R2-D2 spoke English the whole time.
The whole time.
Why were you the main fucking crux of Ziva's timeline in NCIS, which is just a policewoman who says like, who the foreign guys are like, oh, look at this stupid whore type of slut. And then the female policewoman says, oh, I'm a whore type of slut, am I, in their language.
And they go, oh.
What the hell? This whore type of slut is, like, smart, like we are, for our language.
Every now and then I'll find out a new facet of Demi. And I have found out in the past that she does have an encyclopedic knowledge of one season of NCIS.
It's not one season, it's most seasons. It's just that when Ziva joined, I got very interested because she was a beautiful woman.
I see. How do you spell Ziva?
Z-I-V-A, I think.
Oh, just from, like, guessing, I guess it's that.
I think it's Ziva.
Yeah, tone of woman who's never opened up a Google image search of her with pure thoughts.
There was Gibbs, there was, don't worry about it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter in any way. Don't look up NCIS, no.
I'm looking up the lady. Is she pretty? Okay.
Yeah, she's fucking pretty. Hot, right?
Chilean-American.
So she knows, like, 100 languages. So whenever she's like in the room with like weird terrorists or whatever, she'll be like,
oh, she's like those guys on TikTok that just kind of roll up on anybody in the streets of Japan and go, hey, what's your language?
Dude.
And they go, you wouldn't speak it. You wouldn't speak it.
But in her case, it's like, oh, crazy beige girl goes all English on these Russian guys.
Andrew, have you seen the one video of that? That's a guy it is the white guy stuns Chinese restaurant by ordering in perfect Mandarin or whatever. It is him, but he's doing it for Jamaican patois.
Yes. I believe. Is this the one where the guy's like talking to a lady and he goes, hold on, I just have to take this phone call. And then he starts patois-ing in front of her?
That's not the one I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of one where he's like walking down a Jamaican like quarter or like Jamaican neighborhood in New York, I think, with his Jamaican friend. And he starts like talking in patois, like, you know, to the like street vendors. And like, and they're clearly like, huh, you're kind of talking our language, but also.
I don't know why you're doing that.
You can knock this off anytime you want.
That's weird.
They're all doing a face like, huh, this white boy's kind of annoying.
Yeah, it doesn't hit the same for them.
Oh, you're doing an impression of me that's most of the way there.
Yeah, okay. He's expecting wait, you're a girl who games and watches Seinfeld? But he's getting the...
You're a lady cop who speaks Armenian? Hold on.
Damn, I didn't know I had a type. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And you're from the Navy, you said?
The Navy?
Is that NCIS?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Naval Crime Investigation Service, yeah.
Goddamn. What a world. What a world.
Oh, Hellraiser. I know Mr. Pinhead is interested in some naval crimes.
Folks!
No, it's sort of more about his
We're
nipples.
Closing up.
I would say it's about his nipples.
Closing up shop.
His nipples are the bits of...
Today it's Naval Day! I've got a feather to tickle you with!
You imagine leg day in Pinhead's universe?
What if we all just work out for a while? I'm thinking more you're walking around and Pinhead gets behind you and like pinches you really hard on the back of the thigh.
Really
you
fucking go, hard.
Fuck!
Really hard. Or as soon as like he's like,
no,
hey,
that actually hurt. Pinhead, yeah. That actually hurt.
Pinhead and female right? Centipede hanging out and giving each other dead arms.
No, seriously, stop it.
I was thinking that leg day would be that that Pinhead is driving around like an oval and he's in a bulldozer and you're like running and he's like, well, don't slow down. And you can run as fast as you want, even if you're up again, and he's like, I can go forever. And then eventually he runs over only your legs.
Oh, I'd
That's
climb into the bulldozer That's tray okay. thing.
That's what I thought.
I appreciate that, baby.
Everybody in the call is mad at me for no reason.
No, I think you have a beautiful mind.
We don't call them Indian burns, actually. Not anymore. Folks, that's what we like to call an episode of the podcast, Buena Vista. I'd like to thank my beautiful friends, Tom and Demi, very much for stepping in and saving the day. We're just getting ready for the live show, episode 400. You will be listening to this after the live show has been recorded.
Yes.
But everybody is unwell. Everybody else in the podcast, in a sign for the live show that I would call foreboding.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Everybody's sick. We need them to have the night off.
The only downside to being on this podcast is that it has robbed me of an episode to listen to on my own time, because I listen to this pod every week. I'm on the bonus feed twice a week. I love the Bunta Vista podcast, so thank you for having me on.
That's
I'll
beautiful.
Be listening to it because I love the sound of my own voice.
Completely
and also
deranged.
Yeah, I know. It's insane, but I really love it. And I'm sorry for my whiff at the end of the episode. Thank you so much.
Take that one out, Ben. No, not the whiff, the part where she apologizes.
Don't take it out. Put in the Chinese thing here as well.
Yes. No.
Put it in again.
Take out the reference.
Chinese pew bit at the end.
Yep.
BigSoftTitty.png. Tom Walker's good stream. Dragon Friends.
Oh, I also have a stream that I'm coming back to, but whatever. And also, I'm the only Demi Lardner, so if you Google me, it'll come up with me. And I have a series coming out in the next couple months.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
I'll just say it's called So You Want to Win a Penis Pump. I have two episodes out that were on Twitch, but I am now filming it with a budget and a team.
Ooh, it's amazing. And if you do get a message from someone claiming to be Demi, asking you for large sums of money, send it.
Send it?
Go on. What are you doing with it?
I need that stuff.
Yeah. If they say they're sending you money, it's not Demi.
No.
Okay? That's a
Who
scam.
Who would pretend to be me? It must be me.
That's your chance, scammers. Thank you, guys. We love you very much. And see everybody next time.
Thank you for having us. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.